Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is John Bautista. I'm your co-host. You are listening to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. In this episode today, we're going to be addressing the topic of not feeling like you're in love. So one of the biggest questions that we get at the practice is that what happens whenever we don't feel like we're in love anymore? All right, so let's bring Kim back to the table. Kim, what do you got for us today?
So I think this is, you know, we touched on this last week, and I think it's important because I hear so often people will think their marriage is over, or they'll start to entertain the idea of an affair because they are not feeling in love feelings. So you'll hear a client say, I love him or her, but I'm not in love with him or her. So what does that mean? Well, I, you know, my story of marrying my best friend, loving him with all my heart, and then not feeling so much love, and then getting very confused by that, feeling like I married the wrong person, or I fell out of love, and not even really sure what that meant, but just not feeling it, thinking we're like roommates. I remember one time I even told him this. I can't believe some of the things I said to him, but I told him that I love him like a brother.
Oh, wow. Every guy wants to hear that. No, I was kidding.
Every guy wants to hear that. John laughs now, and he's like, talk about getting friend zoned. I didn't even get friend zoned. I got brothers. Yeah, brothers. You know? That's even worse. And so, but what I meant was I had feelings of love, meaning I cared for him. I didn't want anything bad to happen to him. I had some fond feelings for him. We had children together, but I did not want to have sex with him. I did not flutter or get excited about seeing him. I didn't.
No butterflies?
No butterflies. No butterflies.
More like mosquitoes. So, just kidding.
Just mosquitoes. That's great. Yeah. And so that was really confusing to me. And the more I felt it was lacking, the more I focused on it. And so that created more feelings of disconnection and discontent. And so I tell people this when I work with them. I'm like, if you told me the day that I married this man that I loved with all my heart, that one day I'd want a divorce, I would have said that is never going to happen. But it did. And if you told me the day I said I want a divorce, that one day I would love him even more than the day I married him again, I would have said, there's no way to come back from this. There's no way to come back to that. But it happened. So I am a living proof testimony that feelings are, they come and go. They're very fluid, and you can have increased feelings of love for your partner again. And so I see it in my work clinically, and I've lived it in my own life personally. So you can't convince me otherwise anymore.
Gosh, that's so disheartening, Kim. I know that the people that I've seen, they're coming in and they're just at a loss. They have no words because they're at a place and they're so discouraged where they do not see a way out. They do not see a way out of their feelings of discouragement and feeling like, man, they're just so disconnected. How can we ever come back together?
And you feel trapped. It's like, if that's your narrative, if that's how this is going to go down, right, then this is as good as it's ever going to get. Like, what?
Yeah. Like, I spend the next 20 years of my life like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having sex because you have to have sex because it's your duty, not because you have feelings of love and desire, you know? And so, yeah, that's a bummer too. So, I mean, it was just looking pretty grim. It was looking pretty grim for the Bowens. Yeah.
So let's see if we can maybe reshape or reframe the idea of feelings and how it complements our relationships.
Where do feelings fit in this whole love thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's understanding the phases of marriage is really important to this too. So everybody's heard the honeymoon phase.
Yes. Right.
And some of us are constantly seeking that. And I don't blame them because that's a pretty fabulous place.
Yeah. It's honey.
Oh my gosh. I do remember. Listen, there are so many blessings to being married for 34 years and so much of that that I wouldn't change. But I do miss young, hot, fiery love. That
I just want to let you know that Kim right now is like in a daze. She's like staring off into the distance.
Oh, my heart's pitter pattering right now.
It's honey.
I mean, I miss that because you're just all fire cylinders are firing. You're excited. You're on a high. I mean, that's quite a dopamine hit, young new love. I don't care how old you are. I mean, what a pump of adrenaline that is. And so what makes that phase so exciting is you see yourself from your partner's lens and they think you're pretty amazing and you think they're pretty amazing. And so one of the identifying traits of that, you know, love is blind kind of thing. And so people will come together and all they see is all the things they like and how they are alike, and they minimize all the ways they're different. So a Catholic will marry a Jewish person and then think, we'll work it out later. What could go wrong? What do you mean no Christmas tree? So, I mean, so that first stage, you know, you just don't worry about all that. You'll just figure it out later because you have the most important thing, which are these feelings of love. And so that lasts about 18 months to 2 years, three if you're lucky. And then the second stage hits, and we call that the differentiation phase. And we talked about differentiation last week, which I thought was some really important information there. People can go back and listen to, but the differentiation phase is where you're stuck on the differences. Now the differences are coming up and you can't get past them. You're like, you're fighting all the time and stuck in all this conflict that just keeps coming up. And so this is where people start to think, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Uh-oh, I may have married the wrong person. Uh-oh, I didn't know this. I didn't know my partner well enough. And if they don't understand that this is part of the growth, developmental cycle of a relationship, they can run screaming into the night. Like, what is this? Right. And then the stage after that is what we call the practicing stage, but that's where they feel very much like roommates. There's so much more distance and very little together. And so these are some tough stages to get through after that incredibly close first stage, right? That makes these others seem really painful, but stick it out, folks. The ending's pretty good. Because the last two stages are about coming back together again and redefining your relationship and getting to know each other again. So if you don't know all that, that can come very shocking and disappointing, unmet expectations, and it just can go south from there. So for me, it started out, so I remember the disillusionment of, uh-oh, here's what I got. And then I started thinking more and more about all the things that I was disappointed in. And I'm telling you, there's something to this where when you start focusing on the flaws of another person pretty soon, that is all you're going to see. It's all you're going to see. And there's very little room for anything to get past that, to come in that's more realistic of who that person really is. And that will kill. It will kill feelings of desire. It will kill softness and friendship and wanting to be with that person. Like when you're focusing on their negative traits and you start to expect them to disappoint you, you're in big trouble. In fact, John and Julie Gottman, big names in the couple therapy world, they call that negative sentiment override, that it's really hard to overcome that, and it breeds contempt. And once you have contempt in the relationship, then you're very much in danger of divorce. Yeah.
You know what? That's something that I haven't really thought about, is that whenever you meet somebody and you are drawn to them, attracted to them, and are coming in close to their lives as they're coming in close to yours, there's this sense of mutual interest, right? And I think that whenever somebody finally sees us for who we are and loves us and is excited about us, that is an amazing feeling. Mm-hmm. And what a turn for us to experience this negative sentiment override, where instead of seeing all the beautiful things about who we are and what we can contribute to the relationship, we're kind of seen for all of our flaws. You know, I've been telling people that if you're going to be looking for flaws in somebody, like, you're going to find them. The harder you look, the more you'll find, because we're all imperfect people. So every person is going to come with a set of imperfections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're so good at looking at theirs and kind of not our own, you know, because we're pretty flawed too, right? And so, and then we do what we call in our couples world of therapy, one up. And when you start one upping your spouse, going one up in self-esteem, meaning feeling like you got the raw end of the deal, or you're settling, or they don't quite measure up to what you want anymore. That's, we call that going one up. And when you start doing that, man, that is a really bad place to be.
Is thinking you're a little bit better mm-hmm. in some way, and your partner is a little bit less
yeah.
in some way.
I'm okay. You're not okay. I'm one up. I'm okay. You're not okay. I've got this figured out better. I'm doing better than you. I am trying harder than you. You're lucky to have me, kind of thing. I settled when I married you.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
and
that's
I
harsh.
Did. I got there. I got there for sure. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when we go one up, our partner will go one down. And one down is you're okay, I'm not okay. And so our self-esteem is taking a real hit. And why is he or she not choosing me? What's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And now neither one of us are in a healthy space and cannot be relational in those two spaces. The one up person has to come down, and the one down person has to come up. Eyeball to eyeball.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
How do people get back to seeing each other?
So here's what I did. Here's how I did it.
Okay.
And it really works, but I hate it, but when I tell clients, they're like, how do I get out of this? And I tell them, and they look at me like, really? I'm like, really? Like, somebody told me one time, if you want to change your life, you remember when the gratitude journals were going around everywhere?
Yes.
How corny and awful those are. I'm telling you though, as simple as that sounds, if you focus on that, the gratitude of your life will change. Hmm. It can't help but not. That simple. You don't need to go pay thousands of dollars of therapy. If you want to improve your life, focus on gratitude, period. You're all welcome. It's just saved you thousands of dollars. but so couples work is the same thing. So you've created this caricature of your spouse, and it's pretty negative, and it's over exaggerated, and it's not real. But all your thoughts and feelings go through that. And so to change that, you've got to be very intentional about focusing on your partner's good traits. And every time something bad about my partner would show up, and it does, I tell people a lot, I married Jesus. He's a pretty good man, but he's not perfect. He's not perfect. And so when I would have a negative thought about him, I would try to replace it with several positives. And then I would come up with a few negatives about myself.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I would actually literally write some stuff down, because like, I'm not a peach either. But if I catch myself going, one up, and I can do that, I can go one up or one down. I mean, I can go all over the place, as most of us can. And so we should do that when we catch ourselves going one up or one down anyway. And we'll do it several times a day. Like if you are going to you're driving to the grocery store and someone cuts you off and you slam on that horn and you're like, give them the bird and all this stuff, right? You're one up.
Yeah.
You're going one up. You don't know that person's story. You're like, idiot, driver, whatever. That's such a one up position.
Hmm.
Right. And then when you show up and you let someone mistreat you and you don't speak up for yourself, or you feel like you don't look attractive enough to go out, or I mean, women struggle with this a lot, right? Like we go through periods where we just feel ugly or we feel unattractive, and then we'll go one down. And so you just kind of have to monitor yourself and know when you're doing that and try to get yourself into that healthy space. It's part of knowing yourself. And so for John, what I would do is when I would have negative feelings about him, I would try to replace them with positives and keep my focus there. And then I would come up with some negatives about me. And I'm telling you, it levels the playing field, because I had plenty to put down. I know. It's shocking. Shocking, right? That's where you say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Can't believe Kim has problems. So shocking. Yeah. And then the other thing that I did, and this is true too. So if you want to, okay. So during COVID, my husband and I love to travel. The year before COVID, we were in Russia and we did this Yeah, we'd love to go. We've been everywhere. And so COVID came, and then we were not just land bound, we were house bound. And I was like losing my mind. And so we bought an RV. I cannot believe it, but we did. We bought an RV and we took 5 months and we just traveled all over the US. And I fell so much more in love with my husband at the end of that than before. Now, I kind of worried because, you know, we're in this Texas big old house. Lots of square footage, you know, and then we're going to go down to what, 300 or 400 square feet? Not even that, maybe. And we're going to live in that for 5 months. Like, I thought this will make us or break us. And I fell in love with him all over again because I was seeing him in a different way. He was showing up in a different way. We were out of our routine. I was watching him do all this manly stuff that I didn't know how to do. And he, you know, he's crawling all over that thing and he's fixing everything and he's hauling this big beast behind him. And I'm like, kind of like that. And we were experiencing new adventures together. Hmm. And then I heard Stan Tatkin. He's another therapist in the couples community. And he said, if you want to fall in love with your spouse again, have new experiences together, experience new things together. And I thought, that's exactly genius. What happened to us. That's what happened to us.
Yeah.
So if you want to fall in love with your spouse, go buy an RV and go traveling for 5 months. No, maybe don't start there.
I mean, what a fun solution. If you really think about it, we're all looking for more and new experiences as individuals. But to think that we have somebody that is along for the ride, that is here for, in some sense, forever. And to have these experiences, to be able to see them through continued different lenses. Like, that's a gift.
And we have routines and kids and bills. And it's so easy to get so bored.
Right.
And you're dealing with the same things every day, all day. And how many times can you go home and wonder, did he take out the trash today? Or did she get dinner done today? I mean, like, whatever your roles are. Right.
Right.
And then just get caught up in that. Like, who wouldn't fall out of love?
Right. Who wouldn't be discouraged and be like, are you serious? This is the next 20 years?
Yes.
But these new experiences, they kind of sound like another set of lenses that you can see your partner through.
Yeah. Excellent point. And because what are you doing when you first get to know someone? You're getting to know them in different ways and you're doing things you don't know. You stop doing. My husband and I, when we were dating, I took him ice skating or he took me, I don't know, whatever. And I have never laughed so hard. He, bless his heart. One of the things that he isn't good at is he's not very coordinated. And so he got on that ice and he got wobbly and he ends up getting out of control and he grabs some man who just happened to be skating by. And it was like a coordinated dance. He grabs him around the waist. They do this spin circle and then let each other go. And the man continues to skate and John slams into the wall. But that was, you know, we were having fun. We were doing new things together.
Yeah. Love hurts sometimes. Like a wall.
Like the wall.
Yeah. So, Kim, I hear you saying that being able to write down things that you appreciate about your partner, about what they contribute to the relationship, is actually really helpful because it continues to put in positive, healthy, and helpful things into the relationship.
And John, I want to say this before we run out of time, but I had a guy who had an affair. He's had several affairs. And when we get down to why, the whys of it, turns out he just wanted to feel something. He just wanted to feel something. How many of us in our marriages just want to feel something? And it's so much easier to give in to temptation or let somebody else direct a course for us that's not good for us and just kind of whisk us out of our moral obligations and compass and, you know, take us off track, or we can figure that how to do that within our partnership. Yeah.
Why not have an adventure with a person that you chose a long time ago?
Why not have an adventure?
Yeah. I love that. Feelings will come and go, but the opportunity to have new experiences.
And those experiences can really lead to us seeing our partner in more deeper, intimate, and meaningful ways as we go through life.
Kim, well, thanks so much for talking about how feelings come and go, but then also, you know, how do we love whenever we don't feel loving? Any last thoughts?
Yeah. Being married is hard. Getting divorced is hard. Choose your heart. Choose your heart. And it's going to take some effort to create adventure in your marriage and to keep the love alive. It is going to take effort. And if you don't have that expectation up front, you're going to be really disappointed and disheartened when you figure that out. And don't believe any of that stuff that says love shouldn't be hard. It absolutely is hard. Choose your heart.
Choose your heart. That is one of the wisest things I've heard in marriage counseling. It is. Yeah. Love is hard and divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Well, thanks guys for tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. My name is Jim Bautista, and we'll see you guys next week. Peace.